As a consequence, a number of generals within the high command, led by a man named Ludwig Beck, General Ludwig Beck, had begun talking about the possibility of removing Hitler if Hitler gave the order to actually launch a military operation against the Czechoslovakian state, which not only had very defensible borders, but also a well-trained and well-equipped military establishment. As the crisis over the Sudetenland mounted in September 1938, these discussions within the high command had moved, had accelerated. The generals were absolutely thunderstruck that Chamberlain and Daladier had caved in. They were convinced that the conference would lead to a confrontation, that an order would be given by Hitler to launch an invasion of Czechoslovakia, at which point key figures in the German army would lead this rebellion against the regime. The collapse of the West, as it was seen by the high command at Munich, dealt a devastating blow to these conspirators who had hoped to use this as an opportunity to remove Hitler. And indeed, what it did was underscore once again, to punctuate Hitler's own conviction that the military, his own military, was timid, that it was not, if not weak, was too cautious. The high command of the army had been opposed to the sending of troops into the Rhineland in 1936, arguing that if the French sent out a battalion, it would they could halt the German advance into the Rhineland and inflict a humiliating defeat on German forces. Hitler had gambled politically. He'd been proven right. They were wrong. Now, again, in 1938, the same scenario had unfolded. As a consequence, this resistance within the military would, I wouldn't say it dissolves, but it certainly goes into eclipse. We will see in the course of 1944 that this same group of conspirators would reemerge in the summer of 1944 after the D-Day landings in an attempt to assassinate Hitler and to establish a new post-Nazi regime. To the east, in the Soviet Union, important conclusions were also drawn in the aftermath of the Munich meeting. Stalin was more than ever convinced that the Western powers were impossibly weak, that they had no will to resist the Nazis, and worse, he was convinced that all England and France were really interested in doing was channeling German aggression to the east, moving it away from the West and toward the Soviet Union. After all through the crisis in the fall of 1938, Stalin and his diplomats had insisted that if the Soviet Union were required to come to Czechoslovakia's aid, the Soviet Union would do so. It would honor its obligations, its military obligations to protect Czechoslovakia. But in order for this treaty to go into effect, France first would have to honor its obligations, and this France had refused to do. In some ways, Stalin had an easy propaganda ride out of this run-up to the Munich conference, because in order for the Soviet Union to move troops in to aid Czechoslovakia, they were going to have to move through Poland for the most part. There was no common frontier between Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union in 1938, a geographic point that the Soviets would alter after the Second World War. And the Poles had already made it clear that under no circumstances were they going to allow the Red Army to move across their territory to come to the aid of Czechoslovakia. So one doesn't really know the extent to which the Soviets were actually prepared to come to the aid of the Czechs, but in some ways it's not even important. The real key was that Stalin felt betrayed by the West. He had, and not only had France not honored its obligations to Czechoslovakia, but the Soviet Union had not even been invited to the negotiations or the meeting at Munich. What lesson, what message was being sent, not only by Hitler, but by the Western powers, to Moscow? In March of 1939, German troops moved across the frontier of the Sudetenland and invaded Czechoslovakia proper.